Blog Talk Radio.
Gates of Zion 100 times.
you think I'm gonna do? Keep up now? No, no, not gonna blow. My foes attack and I just smile. They don't seem to understand my style. My confidence is so high.
Possible to see the changes that I've made in my life. Christ, there's no blood. Without the blood, there's no life.
Yeah, yeah.
Living in Christ, lie.
One blood. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone. One blood. Let the weak say I am strong. They put a Babylon. Yo, it moved me sin, so watch it make me part. Because the blood set me free, so you can't stop me talk.
The blood come here to deliver. Me no matter how many times you pull the trigger. No make nobody carry the gold digger. Man a son, me no nigga. Christ blood flow like a river. Shut off the yard and deliver. One step out a giant and the whole body shiver. The remedy in the blood for the sinner. Me give a winner. Him a the great mediator. Show me love and favor. Sin God like vapor. Tear them up like paper. Move the guilty cases. Show time and faces. And different places. And culture and races and faces. And the blood they have for the bad man name. Hand on them in a God man praise.
One blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon.
One blood.
Yo, Stiffy.
It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone.
Move, push up like a shot. No take, no talk. Why this is programmed? The dark, don't start to bark. Blood and road and body line on cool and mark.
Only one blood from the cross can change your heart.
We tie up like chicken fat. This a blood that pump you wash off your dirty ass.
Strangle your tongue when you use like a python. That can get rid of bad mind like what?
Who them? Hang up they look like I know who know me at all. You think you're hot when the blood they have to cool you. Now you try to run, the blood they have to fool you. Living in nothing but a one blood can save you.
One blood. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone. One blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon. Yo, it moved me sin, so watch it make me part. Because the blood set me free, so you can't stop me talk. One blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon. One blood. It doesn't matter where you're from.
Where there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah. I try to run.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today reading for me is a brother that's very near and dear to my heart. He's read before. He's one of my favorite readers. This is the one, the only, Jeff Adair. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, shalom, brother Josh. Peace to the elders, teachers, and students at ADT. And again, brother, thank you for the privilege for allowing me to read. Means a lot to me, and looking forward to a great class.
All praises, all praises. And, of course, you know, we appreciate you reading for us today. And any and all input that you may have. And Jeff is a pretty informative brother, so I'm pretty sure he may have somewhat to say about this one. But before we get off into this, let me just first welcome everybody on Clubhouse List today. This is your first time coming out. We welcome you, and we hope you continue to study with us. With that being said, let me just remind everybody that this is our established study. All of that means for you and the listening audience is that we will not be allowing anyone else on the stage other than the moderators until the study is over. Again, if you raise your hand, we will not be allowing anyone else on the stage other than the moderators until the study is over. Once the study is over, simply raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you up, provided you are respectful. You can ask any question or comment you want, but you have to be respectful. Speaking of which, as I always remind my mods, make sure y'all keep a close eye on that chat room. Anybody in the chat room being disruptive, being a troll or whatever, don't warn them. Don't reason with them. Kick them straight out and keep it moving. We will not allow anybody to disrupt our study. Also, to everybody on Blog Talk, Shabbat to you as well. You also know the deal. Hold all your questions and comments until after the study. If you have a question or a comment, simply press 1 on your phone, and we will add you into the conversation. The study is over. Now, with that being said, the title of today's class is The Israel-Only Lie Destroyed by the Proselyte. Let me say this to you again, just in case you didn't understand. Today's title is The Israel-Only Lie Destroyed by the Proselyte. And I decided to do this class because, once again, Kev of the Dust has inspired me to elaborate more on something that he and I usually talk about doing Q&A. And this wasn't last week, but it was a few weeks back when we were dealing with the subject of Ruth, the Moabite, in which we proved emphatically that Ruth was a blood Moabite or Moabitess, She was not an Israelite living in Moab. She was not an Israelite living like the Moabite. She was a blood Moabite that converted over to the ways of Israel. And when Kevin was elaborating on this, and in the class when I showed the word stranger, I didn't even look it up. I just mentioned it. Well, actually, I did look it up. And Caleb of the Dust went to the Strong Concordance and found and pointed out that that is the strongest expression of a non-Hebrew in the Old Testament that you can get, the word that was translated stranger there. And he showed the Greek equivalent of it in the Septuagint, if I'm not mistaken. And even after this has been proven, you still got a bunch of stiff-necked and hard-headed people, both Israelite and non-Israelite, trying to push the narrative that Ruth was an Israelite living in Moab. But the reason why this is even a thing, something they can even attempt and in a lot of cases get away with, is because none of these novices, these amateurs, these rookies, know what a proselyte is. If they knew the definition of a single word that is used in the King James Version Bible, they wouldn't be fighting so hard to try to make non-Israelites be, or they would know that they can't get away with it because we know what a proselyte is. And every time I jump up and I see somebody trying to make Ruth be an Israelite, Cornelius in the New Testament be an Israelite, even the Roman centurion that asked Jesus to heal his slave be an Israelite, I already know I'm dealing with some ignorant, unlearned, and uneducated people. It's just a fact. One thing we don't seem to keep in mind is this. You cannot deceive an educated person with ignorance. It cannot be done. And an educated person spots ignorance a mile away. See, you might be able to deceive another ignorant person, but you can't deceive an educated person. And if you try as an ignorant person to deceive an educated person with ignorance, then that makes you a bona fide moron. Because there's no way in the world Brother Josh would go up into a university or a college, and they're in there talking about nuclear fusion. And I try to bluff my way through the discussion to pretend like I know what they know or more. In other words, I'm trying to deceive them with ignorance. It wouldn't work. And if I try to, that makes me a bona fide moron. And as offended as some of you may be by the word moron, stupid, idiot, we have to realize that those people exist. I don't hear anybody doubting the possibility of somebody being wise, intelligent, or smart. I don't hear anybody saying, no, you shouldn't call anybody smart. Even if they are smart, you shouldn't call them that. You shouldn't describe somebody as intelligent. Even if they are that, you shouldn't describe them as that. No, we don't do that. But if somebody is on the other end of the spectrum, you know, stupid, moronic, idiotic, people get mad when you label people that. They will be like me having a coin. And me and Brother Jeff were flipping the coin to determine who's going to get something. I choose head, but Jeff chooses tails, but when it lands on, when we call it in the air, I say, okay, I pick head. Jeff says, well, I pick the other side of the coin. What do you mean, Jeff? I pick heads. Well, I pick the other side of the coin. Like he's afraid to say tails. No, it's two sides to the coin, head and tails. is two sides to intelligence, smart and stupid. And there are stupid people on this app. Now, when I say stupid, and I always try to remind y'all of this, I don't mean inherently stupid. I don't mean you were born with a learning disability, although some people may have, but that's not what I'm talking about. When I say stupid, I mean willfully stupid. There is a such thing as being willfully stupid. That means you're choosing to be stupid. And don't act like that's a foreign concept to you, because we say that to each other all the time. We say, man, don't be stupid. You don't tell somebody, don't be stupid, as if they got a choice, if they're inherently stupid, because they can't change it. They can't help it. We say that all the time. So I want people to know that when I call people stupid, morons, and idiots, I'm saying that that's them by choice. They're choosing to be that way. I would never just go in on somebody who I genuinely believe is inherently stupid. So that would make me stupid. You don't give inherently stupid people directions because they're not going to follow them. You don't try to teach inherently stupid people because they can't learn. And I'm tired of all the willfully stupid people on this app trying to pretend like they don't know how to do something as simple as pick up a dictionary and look up a word. I learned how to use a dictionary in the third grade. And you got some people that's a long way from third grade. We talking about 35, 45, 55-year-old people. And they get offended when you disagree with them on the meaning of a word, and then you pull out a dictionary. They get mad. That's willfully stupid. You cannot make up your own definitions for words, people. It doesn't work like that. But that is the type of stuff you will run into on this app. People will redefine entire words just to make their doctrine stick. They will get mad at you. They will lie on you. These are your idiots, your morons. So when we go into this class today, I'm going to show you that just by the definition of the word proselyte, that kills the Israel-only lie. And the Israel-only lie is God only cares about Israel. God is only going to save Israel. God only has spiritual rewards for Israel. That is a lie. Plain and simple. Once you understand the meaning of the word proselyte, and it's not even a hard definition to grasp. It's not deep at all. It really isn't. You will see that it makes absolutely no sense to try to make an obvious proselyte into an Israelite. But you have to understand something else. And this is a personal quote from my book. Ignorance is the mother of deceit. Ignorance is the mother of deceit. In other words, the best way to deceive somebody, the most utilized way to deceive somebody is through ignorance. There is no way in the world there should be any Israelite camp that is filled with relatively intelligent people walking around in this day and age, 2022, telling people that God only cares about Israel when the word proselyte is in their Bible. There's no way. But this is what people do. They lie. And because they know you're ignorant and lazy and willfully stupid, they know you're not going to fact check them. They know you're not going to do it. You got people still arguing, Ruth was an Israelite living in Moab. When she said, your God shall be my God, she was talking about the judges. Are you kidding me? This is the stuff they're coming up with. because they don't know what a proselyte is. And once you know what a proselyte is, once you see it, you can't unsee it. But the truth is not for everybody. And I'm tired of people trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've been doing this a long time. I know when somebody generally is struggling to see something because of intellect versus somebody who just got too much pride. And there's a lot of pride on this app. I will venture as far as saying that 90% of Clubhouse rooms that are open on this app is out of ego and pride, not to try to save anybody, not to try to better anybody's lives, just ego and pride, the battle of egos. And when I bring somebody on the stage and I just put their feet to the fire, hold their feet to the fire, and make them stick with the definition of words, they always cop out. Because nowadays, words have no meaning anymore for them. Words are fluid. Words are whatever we want them to mean. That's confusion. That's Babylon. People are always trying to say, especially the one West camp, America is Babylon. No, these Hebrew camps are Babylon, because Babylon just means confusion. So we're going to get this started in Acts chapter 2. We're going to take our time, and I'm going to show you that the Israel-only lie is destroyed by the proselyte. And you can't redefine it to make it mean what you want it to mean. When they tell you a word means something, something, brothers, ask for a source. A lot of y'all are uneducated. You did not go to college. I'm not knocking you didn't go to college. No, I'm not here to education shame nobody. But facts are facts. And unless you went to a really good high school, college is the place that mostly teach you about work cited or citing a source, meaning in college. You cannot make any academic claim unless you back it up with a source, and you cannot be your own source. In other words, you can't say it means that because I said it means that. So what you see on Clubhouse is not really the academic world. It is a distorted mockery of the academic world, but it's not real academia. It's not. That's what we try to give you. But I'm not in the business of trying to force a man to learn how to read. I want to teach people to read who want to learn to read. I'm not going to shove a book in your face and say, read, read. No, I don't do all of that. And a lot of people, they don't know how to read. And when I say don't know how to read, don't get on the stage, watch this, Josh, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I do know how to read. No, when I say you don't know how to read, I mean, do you comprehend what you read? See, when you went to school, they didn't just teach you reading class. They didn't just take you to reading class. You also had a class called reading comprehension. Because a lot of y'all reading, but you don't comprehend anything you're reading. And that's the same as not being able to read at all. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. It's on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to read verses 1 to 5. So this right here, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. I remember when I was reading what Paul was saying to the Galatians, when he said, you observe days and times. I am afraid of you, right? Because of how far off y'all don't fail. That's how I feel. I generally feel like that. Because remember, whenever you're looking at any present generation and you think to yourself, man, this generation is jacked up. If you look at a present generation and that's how you describe it, then think about what the next generation is going to be. It should make you very afraid. And when I go on this app where I see all these people saying stupid stuff in the age of smartphones and iPads and tablets, information literally at your fingertips in a minute, and people still saying stuff this stupid, this day and age, I shudder. I'm afraid of a lot of y'all. I'm afraid for a lot of y'all, and I'm afraid of a lot of y'all. But we're trying our best, y'all. We're trying to pull you back from the precipice, from the brink. We're trying to do it. Some of y'all just want to jump off that cliff. So this is Acts chapter 2, We're going to read verses 1 to 5, this day of Pentecost. When you get there, Jeff, read, please.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Now, the day of Pentecost is simply the New Testament way of describing the Old Testament Feast of Weeks. Right? They counted out 49 days from the first fruits, and they added one more day, and they got 50, you know, because 7 times 7, they had 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49 plus 1 is 50. And Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50th. So that's all you're reading about. This is a Jewish festival, so to speak. And all of them are here celebrating after Jesus died on the cross. I just wanted to throw this out here just in case some Christians that say the Old Testament stuff is done away with may be listening, because they're right here keeping Old Testament stuff. But continue, Joe.
Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Continue.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
Now, look what it said. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. That means that there were Jews from all over the world there in Jerusalem observing the day of Pentecost. And notice it said Jews. Notice that the author of Acts, which is Luke, is very careful to let you know that he's referring to devout Jews everywhere under heaven. These are your Jews, or your Israelites, or your Hebrews. Nobody's debating that, right? Now, if you keep reading, he goes into detail of which particular nations these Jews were from. But he's going to throw something else in near the end so you can see a word that everyone with Hebrew either doesn't know or refuses to learn. And if you want to stay stupid with them, be my guest. But if you come on my stage and think that you could deceive us with ignorance, it's not going to work. We're educated people over here. And if you try to deceive an educated man with ignorance, knowingly, you are a moron. You're not only ignorant, you're a moron too. You're stupid. Right? So now we see it was Jews from all over the world. But now, Jeff, skip down, if you will, and read verses 10 and 11.
Acts chapter 2. Verse 10, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around about Cyrene.
Now, he's naming these different nations that they were from, that these Jews were from, right? Actual Jews, blood Jews. Nobody's debating that. But watch what else it says. Go ahead and read.
And strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes.
It said, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Notice it made a separation there. You cannot make whoever the proselytes are be Jews, because it just made a separation. Jews and proselytes. And the average one West Hebrew has no idea what a proselyte is. And if you believe that Ruth was an Israelite living in Moab, you don't know what a proselyte is. If you believe that Cornelius, the Italian in the New Testament, was a proselyte, was an Israelite, you don't know what a proselyte is. if you believe the entire nation of Nineveh that Jonah went to and preached to were Israelites, you don't know what a proselyte is. And it's in your Bible. And if you claim to be some kind of teacher or debater of the word, and you don't know what a proselyte is, then Brother Josh can't cut you any slack. See, I don't have a problem with the commoners or the common folk not knowing the meaning of words. But I judge teachers a lot stricter than I judge students. And too many people coming on this app claiming to be teachers don't know what a proselyte is among the One West Hebrews. They don't know what it is. And if they give you a definition, it's going to be their own made-up definition. Because if they give you the real definition, it completely destroys their doctrine. So when you start changing the definition of words to fit your doctrine, I don't care what kind of spin you put on it, you are a damn liar. Y'all understand? Simple and plain. And if you are dealing with a liar, and this is a proven liar, and you know they are a liar, why would you knowingly sit under a liar? Who would do that? Like, I know this dude's lying, but I'm going to sit under him anyway. I'm going to rock with him anyway. I'm going to back him up on Clubhouse. I'm going to let him mind me up, and I'm going to, you know, take care of his rules for him. And I know. Not, I ain't talking about people who don't know. I'm talking about people who do know. I know this dude is lying. And that's what you're dealing with, y'all. Ego makes you do all kinds of things. Ego will make you murder somebody. That's what pride and ego do. People will do anything to protect their pride. And lying is at the top of the list. That's one of the first things somebody will do to protect their pride. They will lie. And y'all dealing with a bunch of liars on this app. Simple and plain. They can't call me a liar. After this class is over, come on this stage and show me anything I went into these scriptures and lied about or even got wrong. Forget lies. Just show me where I messed up at. Can't ever do it. Can't ever do it. But I can pick them apart all day because I know these people don't care about you. I care about you. We care about you. That's why I tell you the truth. So it says Jews and proselytes. Read that next verse, please.
Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
It says we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. But it says proselytes were there. And we're going to look up the word proselyte in the Strong's Concordance, three Bible dictionaries, two at first and then a third one later. And we're going to see what it says it means. Then we're going to go into other alternative translations and see how they translated it. And then you got to ask yourself if you have a shred of honesty, if you have one genuine bone in your body, have I been lied to by my so-called One West elders on this app? Is my pride blinding me to the truth? That's what you got to ask yourself. See, I don't like to argue with your pride. That's what you're arguing with a lot of times when you get on this app. You're not arguing with a doctrine per se because you already smashed the doctrine. Dre and Benaiah, they smash doctrines all the time, often in under 5 minutes of dealing with the people. So why does the argument last longer than less than 5 minutes? Because at this point, you're not arguing with the doctrine anymore. You're arguing with the pride of the person promoting the doctrine. You have to realize when you're no longer arguing with the doctrine. Once you realize that now I'm just arguing with this brother's pride, time to let it go. If you're just arguing with this sister's pride, time to let it go. Because when you argue with somebody who has pride, if you're arguing with their pride, that could take all night. But if you're dealing with two honest people and you're just arguing about what actually is, more often than not, discussion should take 5 to 10 minutes. And that's what's going on Clubhouse. It's a lot of pride arguments going on. neither side is humble enough to say, you know what, I stand corrected. Because they're afraid that if they say that in the wrong room with a large audience, then the person they humble themselves to is going to take their followers. That's the real reason. Man, I can't admit to Josh what proselyte means. I can't say it in front of all of my soldiers. I'm a captain. I'm a general. I say that, they going to start following him. So I'm going to fight tooth and nail pretending like I don't see it or that he's wrong. But these are definitions, y'all. This isn't a doctrine. This is just the meaning of a word. It wouldn't make sense for me to argue with Jeff over the definition of what a mushroom is. We look it up. It says what it says. But after we both read it, why would I continue to debate it if we already read what it says? Why would I disagree with the definition? That's pride right there. That's when Jeff needs to just be like, you know what, Josh? You have a nice day, brother. I'm done. But a lot of us don't like to do that because a lot of us got pride. Oh, yes, you can be right and still have pride. Bet you didn't see that one coming, did you, Jeff? You can be right and still have pride. Your pride won't let you, your pride wants him to bow down and admit you are right. His pride won't let him admit you're right, and your pride won't let it go until he admits you're right. So now what's going on? We got an endless argument, and nobody is edified. Sometimes you got to let people have their pride. Some people care about their pride more than they care about the truth, more than they care about you. So let them have that. Y'all see how I do. Y'all see it all the time. I lead by example. I don't ever tell y'all need to do something y'all don't see me do it. Once I see that you playing, you don't know what you're talking about, get off my stage, dude. You ain't trying to build. You just got a lot of pride. You got ego. I'm going to do a whole. I've been promising y'all this for weeks. I'm going to do a class about pride and ego. A lot of people on this app just trying to make a name for themselves. They don't care nothing about your salvation. They ain't really trying to help anybody. They just trying to be the next big thing. But now that we see that, we're going to look up the word proselyte first in the Strong's. We're going to go to the Greek section of the Strong's Adoption Concordance. You can also go to the Blue Letter Bible, and we're going to go to 4339. That's the entry in the Strong's Concordance. We're looking up the word translated proselyte. So how are we doing? Looking up words. Nobody should get upset about us looking up words. Jeff, should anybody get upset about us looking up words in the dictionary?
No, sir, especially if you're about the truth.
Exactly.
You want to get out to the facts of the matter to be accurate.
Exactly. This should not offend anybody. You can be offended by me using the word stupid, moron, idiot, but you should never get offended about me looking up a word in a dictionary. That should not offend you. If it does offend you, the only person I know offended by learning is a moron. Offended by learning, offended by acquiring knowledge, that's a fool. But this is 4339 in the Greek section of Strong's Adoption Concordance, and the word is proselutos, right? And it says from the alternate of Greek 4334, arriver from a foreign region, that is specifically an ascetic. And it tells you in parentheses, it means convert to Judaism. And it says proselyte, and it has proselyte again. So it's a convert to Judaism, which is referring to the belief system or the religion of the Jews. For all y'all that hate the word religion, man, we look that word up. People mad at words. I don't have a religion. You don't worship anything? Well, yeah, I work. That's what religion means, fool. We got a lot of word people prejudiced against words. You follow what I'm saying? Word bigots. You're a word bigot. You mad at words. Who in their right mind would be mad at a word if it's not an offensive word? I can understand somebody being mad at an offensive word, but that's a word in the English language that means something. Why are you mad about that? Who's teaching y'all this madness? That's how I know a lot of y'all ain't educated. And I'm going to put you on the spot if you come on this stage and try to challenge me from a state of ignorance. Not if you just ask some questions, but if you try to come in here with your chest out, I'm going to embarrass you. Fair warning. If you don't like being embarrassed for being stupid, don't come on the stage. Simple and plain. But check this out. Now we know what it says in the Strong's Concordance. One of them still might try to say, well, you know, a scattered Israelite can be from a foreign region and be called a proselyte. They'll say something like that. No, that's not the meaning of the word. It is never used that way. It never means that. So what we're going to do first is we're going to go to the Smith Bible Dictionary, and we're going to look up the word proselyte. It's on page 537. All we're doing is looking up words. That word appeared in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. They don't know what it means. Or they're going to try to redefine it. You cannot redefine a word. I can't deal, y'all. I can't deal with those people like that. Proselyte, Smith Bible Dictionary, page 537. Listen, proselyte. A stranger, a newcomer, the name given by the Jews to foreigners who adopted the Jewish religion. Did y'all hear that? It says the name given by the Jews to foreigners who adopted the Jewish religion. Foreigners mean non-Israelites, non-Jews, non-Hebrews. This is the word that the Hebrews themselves came up with to describe non-Hebrews who adopted their belief system. Now, how are you going to take a word that our Hebrew forefathers came up with to describe foreigners that embrace their faith and change it to what you want it to mean? How can you do that? You cannot do that, sisters and brothers. That's what the word means. And a lot of people know that the implication of what this word means destroys their Israel-only life. So what are they going to do? They're not going to let that domino effect kick in because, hey, if we're honest about what proselyte means, that means you got taught a lot of bull. And your mind, your heart can't accept that. Your heart is beating fast in your chest. You're sweating. You're feeling nervous because you know what it means if you are honest about what the word proselyte means. That means your whole world has been shattered because for a lot of y'all, being a One West Hebrew is your whole world and everything about it that they teach. So you do what most people do. Your mind is triggered and it goes into defense mode. Study psychology. This is a wonderful phenomenon I'm describing to you. It's how people deal with tragedy and also just traumatic situations without having a nervous breakdown or losing their mind. Their mind puts up a wall, a defense of instinct, if you will, to protect you from just going crazy. So they'll say, nah, it can't mean that. Why can't it mean that? Because then that would mean that you have been lied to and you have been teaching lies. So you're going to be willfully stupid and act like you don't know what this word means. But let me read again if we're going to go further with it. Proselyte, a stranger, a newcomer, the name given by the Jews to foreigners who adopted the Jewish religion. The dispersion of the Jews, that's when the Jews were scattered, in foreign countries, which has been spoken of elsewhere, enabled them, the Jews, to make many converts to their faith. But you can't say that the scattered Jews are the proselytes when this is telling you that the scattered Jews were making proselytes. This is what I'm trying to say. They're trying to say that the scattered Jews were the proselytes. No, fool, idiot, moron. The scattered Jews were proselytizing. They would go out into the world that they were scattered into and start teaching people their religion.
The whole world, Craig.
The whole world, Craig. Talk like proselytizing of the whole world, Craig. That's what he was doing. See, that's the inside thing for y'all who ain't seen Friday After Next. That's what they were doing. So what do the One West Hebrews do? They will take this word and they will make the proselytes be the scattered Jews. When it was the scattered Jews doing the proselytizing, which means converting. That's what they were doing. And anybody they converted, they called them a proselyte. And y'all are the ones that are always saying, we're in captivity. We're in the land of our enemies. Then how come you're not doing what our Hebrew forefathers did when they went into captivity? When they went into captivity, they started proselytizing. Y'all going to captivity and you want to hold on to this Bible. Ain't nobody but Israel. But this is what our Hebrew forefathers did. That's how the nation learned about the Most High. One way or another, the Most High was going to get his word out to the other nations. But look what else it says, right? The converts who were thus attracted joined with varying strictness in the worship of the Jews. So all that means is when these non-Hebrews converted over, some of them converted over and they were like, man, we're going to try to do everything that the Jews did. And some of them was like, man, I might mess with that Sabbath day, but I ain't trying to give up that pork. So they converted with varying degrees of strictness. But the point is, a proselyte is a non-Jew who converted over to the belief system or the religion or the worship of the Jews. So when you go to the book of Acts and it says Jews and proselytes were there on Pentecost, that meant Jews and non-Jews who converted over to the way of being a Jew was there on Pentecost. And this is before these people were even taught about Jesus. They didn't learn about Jesus for the first time or in fullness until they showed up for Pentecost. So what were they doing there? They were already living as Jews. So what the apostles were trying to do is double proselytize them. What does that mean? They were already living as Jews, you know, keeping Old Testament law. So the apostles were trying to convert them yet again to belief in the Mashiach, in Jesus. That's all that was going on. But they were already keeping the Sabbath day. They were already keeping the holy days. That's why they were there. So how in the world is the One West Hebrew going to read the word proselyte in the New Testament and look it up and tell you, no, those were Israelites, when the definition of the word means the opposite of that? That's a liar, dude. I know you lying. I don't want to talk to you. I don't, for the life of me, I don't know why y'all waste y'all time with people who y'all know are lying. I don't know how y'all do it. It gives me a headache. It gives me chest pains. You follow what I'm saying? I cannot do it. Like, yo, I know you lying, dude. I know you don't know what you're talking about. But we're going to go to another Bible dictionary. See, they make up their own dictionaries. Now, we're going to make up their own Bible, too. We're going to go to the Holman Bible Dictionary. And we're going to look up proselyte again. It's on page 1144. Read one little small sentence. Holman Bible Dictionary, page 1144, proselyte. And it says, proselyte, convert to a religion. Non-Jews, the Jewish faith, and completed the rituals to become Jews. Wait a minute. How many times, and I'm talking about people on stage, and you can answer this in the chat room if you've ever heard them say this, but how many times have you seen a One West Hebrew say or open up a room titled, you cannot become a Jew because a Jew is a race or a nationality? If you have on the stage, what'd you say, Ariel?
I saw that once, but I don't be on Clubhouse like that, so I don't know how often they do it.
I've seen it more than once. What about you, Triller? How many times you seen it? What they say, you can't become a Jew. A Jew is a nationality. It's a race.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember the day. Matter of fact, the day Ariel's daughter was born last year, December 5th, they had the whole thing. We was doing that spiritual Jew thing.
Right. And we were telling people you can become a Jew in the spirit. You can't become a Jew. Let me read the definition again to y'all. Just because something doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it wasn't a thing among our Hebrew forefathers. Proselyte, converts to a religion. Non-Jews, 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 not non-Jews, non-Jews, who accepted the Jewish faith and completed the ritual to become Jews. And we're going to read that in the Bible. That's what a proselyte is. You can't make it be, a proselyte, or it means a scattered Israelite. No, it does not. Give me a dictionary where it says it means that. Give me a Strong and Boston Concordance or a Blue Letter Bible lexicon that says it means that. Give me something other than your own stinking mouth that says that. You can't. So you're making stuff up. And y'all sit here and y'all listen to these people make stuff up and it doesn't bother you. I don't understand what's wrong with a lot of people. It doesn't bother you at all. You just, now they be mad at me. This guy right here, they'll call me an Uncle Tom, a sellout, a coon. They call me all kinds of things. And I'm the one trying to put y'all on game. When I was growing up, like I tell y'all, I was never in the street, but I knew the streets. And I grew up in the hood. And a lot of y'all from the hood, too. Now, I don't know about y'all hood, but the hood I grew up in, when somebody put you on game, that's your boy, that's your dude, that's your friend. You dabbed him up, man. Appreciate that, man. Nowadays, since y'all don't got into the knowledge of this Bible, now y'all mad at people that put y'all on game. Y'all mad at people who are exposing the people that's trying to hustle you. That means you hustling backwards. How is it that you made smarter decisions before you were woke? Now all of a sudden you get woke and now you're making stupid decisions. If you were making good decisions while you were quote unquote sleep, then you should be making great decisions when you become woke. So a lot of y'all are not woke. You've just been rocked into an even deeper sleep. Because I never, ever in my life got mad at anybody who put me on game. Hey, man, don't buy that for him, Josh. That thing don't even work. He's trying to hustle people. Don't buy. Appreciate that, bro. I'm about to drop $50 on that. Nah, y'all go back to the hood. Hey, man, don't buy that from that dude. I bought one for him last week. That don't do not work. It's going to break inside of a week. Don't buy. Shut up, Josh. I'm going to get it. And then you get it and it break. And instead of you coming back and saying, I should have listened to you, you go back and you keep buying bad products from the guy. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. If I think you're crazy, I'm just going to dismiss you as crazy and keep it moving. There's a lot of crazy people on this app. I'm telling y'all. There's a lot of undiagnosed mental patients on this app. I guarantee you, if you get a lot of these people on this app and really sit them down in front of a trained psychiatrist and have them examined, a lot of those people will either be institutionalized or they will be heavily medicated. And we are being taught by mental patients. Undiagnosed mental patients.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. What they say, the patients have taken over the asylum. That's what's going on. I've been telling y'all this for years. Nobody believe me, even though they can see it. So that's what a proselyte is, non-Jews who accepted the Jewish faith and completed the rituals to become Jews. So now what we're going to do, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 11 in the easy-to-read Bible. This is another translation of the Bible. And let's see how it reads. I noticed when we looked it up in the dictionary, it said, become Jew. This is Acts chapter 2 and verse 11 in the easy-to-read Bible. And this is what it says. It's naming the people. It says, Crete and Arabia, thought of us were changed their religion to worship God like Jews. We are from these different countries, but we can hear these men in our own languages. We can all understand the great things they are saying about God. Did you see how it worded is in the ERV? It says, some of us were born Jews and others have changed their religion to worship God like Jews. Then you know right here in this translation that the proselyte is referring to others who changed their religion to worship God like Jews. The others are the non-Jews. But let me show y'all how I read the BBE. Bible in basic English. Look how I read it here. Acts 2, and it's Acts 2 and verse, in this translation, it was verse 11 in the ERV. It's in verse 10 in the BBE. Look what it says. In Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and the part of Libya about Cyrene, and those who have come from Rome, Jews by birth and others who have become Jews. So they'll tell you can't become a Jew. They don't understand that the ancient Hebrews, our Hebrew forefathers, consider anybody who converted over to the ways of their religion to become one of them. Well, how could they do that, Josh? Because for the Jews, their identity as a Jew, as an Israelite, as a Hebrew, was directly linked to their religion. See, the problem with these one-west Hebrews is they keep trying to separate the Hebrew from his faith. When from day one, God wanted a Hebrew to be identified as a Hebrew, not so much as by the nationality or by the race, but by the religion, how you walk, how you worship. That's what God wanted you to do as a Hebrew. Your identity as a Hebrew is not so much based on you trying to identify yourself on a fake 12 tribes chart. That's not what God wanted you to do. He wanted your identity as a Hebrew, an Israelite, a Jew, to be directly linked to, one with, in fact, with how you worship him. And that is why if a foreigner adopted the religion of Israel, they became a Jew, because the religion and the race and the nationality were all considered one. Do everybody understand that on the stage? Everybody got that? Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
That's why. But because one West Hebrews don't understand that, they'll say, you can't become a Jew. Nobody's trying to make them a Jew by blood. But that's not what God wanted them to be known for. It was always the religion, the belief system. That's what really made you a Jew. That's why Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 2. A Jew is one inwardly. And he based that whole conversation off of how they were keeping God's law. I'm going to do a whole class on that. What really makes you a Jew? This is why you got these fools around here trying to identify and trace their lineage back to a tribe, breaking their neck, because you totally missed the point. Totally. That's never what God wanted you to do. Even when you go back and read Deuteronomy, when they were first given the law, he said the other nations will see you and say, look at these laws and statutes they got. Surely this is a wise and understanding people. That is what God wanted you to do to identify yourself as an Israelite. That was Jesus' message. That was Moses' message. That was Paul's message. They have completely missed the point. This is why they're trying to establish a physical link to the identity of Israel, when it was always meant to be a spiritual thing. How do you know who a Jew is? In the ancient world, if somebody walked up in the ancient world and I say, hey, I'm a Jew, if the Jews look like a lot of their neighbors, How do you really know if this guy is a Jew? How could you really know for sure? They have DNA tests back then. So how did you know? He goes into your country and he ain't dealing with any of your pagan gods. He's not eating any of your abominable meats. And you look at how he's walking. You say, okay, that's a Jew. How do you know he's a Jew? By how he's walking. That's how you know. They didn't ask for no pedigrees back then. But Satan has deceived these One West Hebrews and a lot of regular Hebrew camps so badly that now everybody is trying to establish a physical bloodline to a tribe of Israel to prove their worth or their merit as a Hebrew, when all you have to do is live like one. That's all you got to do. This I know these guys are not the truth. That's how you are able to become a Jew. You can't become a Jew. A Jew is a bloodline. No, the Jew being a Jew was also the religion. They were one. They were considered one. You couldn't separate one from the other. That's how you become a Jew, through the religion. And the hypocrisy of it is, they will take you to the Bible and read the word Gentile and say, oh, it means Jews living like Gentiles. Oh, so the concept of being labeled something based on how you're living, even though you're not actually that by blood, is a thing when it's used that way. But in reverse, it don't work. So a Jew can become a spiritual Gentile, but a Gentile can't become a spiritual Jew. That's a one-way street, far as they're concerned. Because every time you show them something positive about the Gentile, they say, oh, no, that's referring to scattered Israelites. Then why are they called Gentile? Oh, because they living like Gentiles. Oh, so what is that, a reverse proselyte? Instead of you converting them, they converted you? That's what that is? So the proselytes are the Jews, too, and the Gentiles? Y'all stupid against when they make up their own definitions. These people are retarded. I don't deal with them. So now we see how it reads in this. Now check this out. We're going to say in the book of Acts. So now that we know that, right? Now that we know what a proselyte is, it's indisputable. We looked it up in the Strong's. We looked it up in two Bible dictionaries, and we've seen two alternate translations. It means a non-Jew who converted over to the religion of the Jews and became a Jew like that. That's what it means. It's indisputable. Anybody got a problem with that definition? After class, get on the stage and provide a farce that states that proselyte means what you say it means. Give me a farce. I guarantee they can't do it. I put money on it. They can't do it. They're going to try to make something up. That's all they ever do. They make stuff up. And y'all are in love with these liars until they lie to you. In the area of your life, you in love with this false prophet. You in love with this fake teacher. I'm talking to the system now. Until you get with him on a personal level, then he start lying to you. Oh, now you can't stand him. But you knew he was a liar from the beginning, though. You knew he was lying when you first looked up with him. But you thought he was special. Oh, he gonna lie to the congregation, but he ain't gonna lie to me. He gonna keep it real with me. No, he gonna lie to you too. So now, we're back in Acts. We go to Acts chapter 13. Y'all keep letting these guys play with y'all. The proselyte destroys the Israel-only doctrine. To be perfectly honest, I've never even heard any of them even touch on what a proselyte is. Have any of y'all on the stage, chat room, let me know. Any of y'all ever heard them do it? I've never heard them do it.
They don't really touch the proselyte argument too much.
I've never heard them play.
That's when they try to skid you away from definitions and different books.
Right. I've never heard them do it. You can't make it be what you want it to be. Crickets. You cannot make a proselyte be what you want it to be. You cannot make up your own definition for words. And you can't be jumping in the Bible dictionary one day when it suits you and then discrediting that same Bible dictionary the next day when it doesn't suit your doctrine. I've seen brothers do that. They'll pull out a Bible dictionary in a minute. Until you go into it now, it don't mean that. Man, you just went into this Bible. I had a brother I was debating. This ain't a shot, but I can't let this go. I was debating Bolito one time on debate talk for you or something, right? I mean, no, we were on a debate talk. I think he was in my pal talk room. That's what it was. This was long before I started. This was like my first ran into him. And he was in the pal talk room. He was going to the Strong Concordance. I didn't have a problem with it. And then when I went to it, he actually told me, you can't go to the Strong Concordance. I said, but you just did. You can use it, but I can't? I'll never forget that. I love Bleedo to death, but I will never forget that as long as I live. That's about moving the goalposts. That's some serious moving the goalposts, right? But it's Acts 13. This is when Paul and his companions, Paul, Barnabas, and his companions were going into the synagogue, and they were teaching about Jesus. Now, watch what it says, Acts 13, 42 and 43. I want y'all to pay attention. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 13, verse 42. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this, because you have to remember what you read. Some people act like they can't remember what they read from one verse to the next. You have to learn to retain information. I'm not saying you're going to, if you read Acts, the 13th chapter in its entirety, you're going to retain everything from verse 1 perfectly and still have it by the time you get to verse 42. I'm not saying you're going to do that, but dang, you can't remember what you read from verse 42 to verse 43. You follow what I'm saying? That's a serious problem right there. If your memory is that bad, that's a learning disability. No cap. I ain't trying to be funny. So we see in verse 42, it says, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles cannot be Jews if it's making a separation right here, y'all. That's common sense. But that's not even my point. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So who wants to hear, in this verse, who wants to hear the word being preached to them the next Sabbath? Two group of people. Who is it, Jeff? Read it again.
Verse 42, and when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So the two groups are the Jews and the Gentiles.
And when are they going to show up again?
The next Sabbath.
Okay. Now watch this. 43.
Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Wait a minute. Verse 42 says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles. Verse 43 says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews, all of a sudden Gentiles disappear. And now we're reading religious proselytes. What happened to the Gentiles? They are those religious proselytes. That's why you got to remember what you read from one verse to the next. The Gentiles in verse 42 are non-Jews who converted over to the ways of the Jews, and they were sent in the synagogue keeping the Sabbath when Paul and his companions showed up to teach them about Jesus. And we know what proselyte means. So you can't come on here as a stupid one West Hebrew and pretend like you can change what proselyte means to fit your doctrine. You can't change what Gentile means either. We're not putting up with you. We are not tolerating you anymore. I'm going to treat you like the sped student that you are. If I was teaching at an actual school and I had a special ed student, and this ain't a shot at any special ed student who can't help it, but whether you can help it or not, if I was an actual teacher, I will dismiss you to a remedial study. I'm not going to sit up there and argue with you. So if you come on this stage and try to act like you don't know how to look up a word, you don't know how to even use a freaking dictionary, then we don't have anything to talk about. Y'all got to stop dirtying y'all hands on the trash. That's what that is. A lot of these guys are garbage, and y'all getting your hands dirty for nothing. If I'm going to stick my hand in some garbage, I'm going to be pulling out some money. I'm not getting dirty unless it got to be worth my while.
Bruh.
That's what it got to be. A lot of folks be calling you, I challenge you, I debate you. Dude, you're trash. And I don't know how to deal with trash without getting dirty myself. I don't know how to do it. If y'all can show me how you can crawl through a pile of trash without getting dirty yourself, I'd love to hear it. But if I'm going to crawl through a pile of trash, it got to be worth my while. Like, I wouldn't call Jeff over to my house and like, Jeff, I got a whole septic tank that exploded. I need you to help me clean it up. That is nasty, dude. That means me and Jeff got to get filthy. But you know, if I ask Jeff to do something like that, I got to make it worth his while. Like, Jeff, I'll pay you $500 an hour for every hour we out there. Jeff's still getting dirty. He's still getting filthy, but it's worth his while. And a lot of these guys don't understand the concept of, I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to dirty my hands on you, and it ain't worth my while. You got to be something in it for me. And when I say something in it for me, as far as like on Clubhouse, I mean, it got to be some people listening who I know is going to really be edified by this. Some of these guys are not worth your time. They are garbage. They are absolute trash. They can get mad. I don't care. But I can prove that you're trash. You don't have to be trash. You choose to be trash. Stop getting dirty with these people. Ugh, you know what I'm saying? I feel dirty just talking to you. Right? So 43 says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Those are those Gentiles. It said, many of the Jews and religious proselytes. You cannot make the Jews in this verse and the religious proselytes both be Jews. You cannot do that because that's not what proselyte means. That'd be like me reading the verse that says both men and women follow Paul and Barnabas. And one of you idiots jump up and say, well, the women in this verse still refer to the same as the men. What are we doing, some transgender stuff? What are you even talking about? You follow what I'm saying? What are we talking about? A proselyte is a non-Jew who converted over to the ways of being a Jew. And if you want to be stupid and try to be smart, say, no, those are the Jews. Okay, you can call them Jews, but they ain't blood Jews. I'll let you call them Jews if you want to, but they ain't blood Jews. Because proselytes were seen as Jews. We saw that. But they ain't blood Jews. Mad at definition. Now read verse 44. Read that.
Acts chapter 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
And the whole city would be a combination of Jews and Gentiles or Jews and religious proselytes, meaning Jews and non-Jews. And these non-Jews converted over. They became Jews by religion. That is a thing. That was a thing. You cannot just get mad at that. That is the history of our people. Y'all love to cherry pick our history when it comes to being a Hebrew. All y'all trying to identify yourselves as Israelites according to the flesh. All y'all trying to do that. Ain't nobody trying to do it according to the spirit, which is what God wanted to always do. You being an Israelite by blood is incidental at best. At best. That's all it is. It's incidental. But God always wanted the Israelites and their religion to be one and the same. He wanted you to be a Jew or an Israelite based on how you keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. Therefore, if somebody else who's not a blood Israelite kept the laws, statutes, and commandments, they became one with the religion and they became a Jew. When you become one with the religion of the Jews, you become a Jew. That's what proselyte literally meant. A convert that became a Jew. That's all it means. And they don't like that. They're going to, you can't do that. I don't make up the rule. They even accuse me of making this stuff up. I'm reading all this to y'all. But watch this, though. Right? We're still in Acts 13, 42 and 43. But let me show y'all something. We're going to read this in another translation. I want to nail this point home. Let's see, they keep trying to pretend like we making this stuff up. 42 and 43. Let me pull this up right quick. We're going to read in the ERV. Oh, by the way, Charles Goodlow, I'm just noticing this not too long ago. Elder David, Brother BB, hit me up in the back. He wants the hookup on that thumbnail that you got. And everybody else got the ABT thumbnail. So Charles Goodlow.
He's already got that message. He's working on it.
Oh, cool, cool. Okay, good. See, y'all be on it. Y'all be on it, right? So this is Acts 13, 42, and 43 in the easy-to-read version. Look what it says. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people asked them to come again on the next Sabbath day and tell them more about these things. Verse 43. After the meeting, many of the people followed Paul and Barnabas, including many Jews, and people who had changed their religion to be like Jews and worship the true God. Those are your proselytes. Still not convinced that y'all read in the Bible in basic English. Acts 13, 42 and 43. And when they went out, they made a request that these words might be said to them again on the Sabbath after. Verse 43. Now when the meeting was ended, a number of the Jews and of the God-fearing Gentiles, called Jews, went after Paul and Barnabas. Y'all see what it said? God-fearing Gentiles who had become Jews. Notice they translate this as God-fearing Gentiles who had become Jews. This is an example of somebody translating an entire definition of a word out instead of just a word. See, some translations do that. We're going to go into that more in the online university, which, by the way, is this Monday, y'all. But we're going to go into that more. Some translations just translate or transliterate just a single word. Other translations will translate the definition of a single word. In this case, they translated the whole definition of what a proselyte is instead of just transliterating the Greek word proselyte. It told you what it means. It's a God-fearing Gentile who had become a Jew. So how is this an Israelite-only thing if we see proselytes all in the mix? Oh, we're going to take it to the Old Testament, too. Don't worry. How could you be a part of a camp and see all of this and still return back to that camp? I know when people can see stuff. I don't deal with people like that. You got a lot of liars on this app, y'all. We got to stop being so naive. We hard on people who don't deserve it, and we lenient on people who do deserve it. Some of y'all really need to turn up the heat on these people trying to play y'all. Now, y'all buddy-buddy with them. But the people that's trying to really wake you up, you want their head on a platter. But the challenge is always open, open challenge. Anybody after this class is over, come on this stage, pull out a farce that defines proselyte as a Jew or a scattered Jew or a Jew living like a Gentile. Pull out a farce that says that. Your elder is not a farce. You can't do it. You know why? Because it's an academic move. See, when we make academic moves, they can't keep up with that because they're not real academics. They're not really intellectuals. Y'all don't ever see us objecting to dictionaries and definitions. We're like, hey, pull it out. But check this out. Now, let's go to Esther. Surely they're familiar with the book of Esther. Notice in the other two translations we read of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 13, they define proselyte, they translated proselyte as becoming a Jew. So just in case they want to jump up and say, well, those alternate translations. I'm only King James. Well, let me show you that this is translated that in the King James, too. And we're going to look up the word and all that, too. We're going to go to Esther. Y'all know the story of Esther, how Haman tricked the king into trying to exterminate the Jews. And then Esther's uncle, Mordecai, came to Esther. The king did not know that she was a Jew, and he was one of her queens. And she reached out to the king and told him what Haman had done. Haman ended up getting executed. But once a decree is put out, a king cannot take it back or change it, but he can add another decree. And the additional decree that he made was that the Jews would be given provisions enough to fight off anybody who tried to exterminate them. And when the surrounding nations saw this decree, Esther's going to tell you something that they did. This is Esther chapter 8, 15 to 17. "You can't become a Jew," said the guy who never read the book of Esther, said the idiot, the moron who never read the book of Esther. Esther chapter 8, 15 to 17. Go ahead.
Esther chapter, Esther chapter 8, verse 15. "And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple.
Mm-hmm.
And Bithy of Shushan rejoiced and was glad."
Mm-hmm.
"The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor."
And he was telling you this when they were keeping the Feast of Purim, which they established to celebrate them not being exterminated, because Haman tried to get all the Jews in the Persian province exterminated, like wiped out, genocide. But continue.
Verse 17, "And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them."
Now, they were surrounded by Persians and other nations. So somebody among the One West Hebrews tell me, how did these people become Jews? And you can't say they were already Jews. And you can't say they were scattered Jews. Read where it says that. It doesn't say that. It said they became Jews. Remember, the decree was to exterminate all Jews. So how in the world would the people who are trying to exterminate them escape the slaughter when they're Jews themselves? So you know whoever became afraid of them could not have already been Jews. Otherwise, they would have been scared of the slaughter that Haman first tricked the king into instituting. So they'll be retarded, not dumb, not stupid, retarded if you try to make that argument. These people who surrounded them were the same people who were ready and willing to exterminate them until the king gave that second decree. So now the Jews got the power, and they got so scared, it said they became Jews. Now, what does that mean? They adopted the ways and the religion of Israel. In other words, they were proselytes. Right there, Esther. Can you believe we showed this to some One West Hebrews before, and they try to say it don't mean that? It's like there's a blockage in their mind. We are dealing with some psychologically just torn people. Y'all don't get that. This is very unnerving. When I think about this, this is very unnerving that somebody can be so indoctrinated, so weak-hearted, so afraid of their reality crashing around them that they will sit here and say, that's not what that means. Even though it plainly said they became Jews, and the people that became Jews were not already Jews in any sense of the word. So how did they become Jews? Y'all said it y'allself. You can't change your race. You can't change your blood. So in what sense did they become Jews then? And they became Jews in a sense. So you're going to throw out the book of Esther now? They don't like the book of Esther no more now, Jeff. They were proselytes, y'all. Stop playing. We need to get these One West Hebrews up out of here, man. They are a plague. They are a blight. They are a scar on the face of true Israel. They are bootleg. If we were back in the land of Israel and I was a king, I would banish every One West Hebrew from the province. Y'all get out of here, man. Y'all ain't trying to do what the dust says the Lord. Get them all up out of here. Not Israelites in general. No, I ain't say all of Israel, the One West Hebrews. God plainly saying something, y'all just, no, we ain't doing that. And there were one West Hebrews back then. They weren't called one West Hebrews, of course. But it was, I can show y'all in another class. I'm going to do a class on that. I'm going to show y'all. It's going to be titled The Original One West Hebrews. Y'all think I'm playing. But the Bible always depicts them as being in the wrong. Shoot, y'all know the Bible. Y'all saw when Peter went one west one time. And Paul had to rebuke him. Y'all remember? Who on stage remember that? I know Benaiah and Dre got to remember that. Because they were going back and forth together about that. Yes. When it happened, but it was in Galatians. You remember Trilla? When he said, I was still Peter's face? Jeff, you remember?
That's when they were ashamed. He was ashamed to eat when the Gentiles, when the other Israelites came around.
Yeah. That's exactly what that is. He straight went one west on them. Like, man, I don't want nothing to do with these Gentiles. Peter went one west for a little bit. But how did that story play out? Paul rebuked him. Now, how in the world can an Israelite who's one west see that and see how Paul dealt with that situation and not see that one west thinking is wrong? Paul should have been like, good job, Peter. We don't want nothing to do with these nasty Gentiles. And you know it had to be actual Gentiles, because why would Peter be ashamed of eating with a fellow Jew who has come back to the Lord? That don't even make any sense. You're ashamed to eat with one of your own people who have returned to God? That wouldn't make any sense at all. These had to be actual Gentiles. Yes, you had some Israelites that did that before. And they got rebuked for it. So we can see this. They became Jews in the book of Esther. So you can call them Persian Jews. They were proselytes. But let me show y'all something else. We're going to look up this word translated, became Jews. See, they don't like this kind of stuff right here. Smart ones are going to come on this stage and try to challenge this. If they do come on the stage, they ain't going to deal with it. They'll never deal with what you bring out. They want to try to jump all the way to something else completely unrelated. No, just deal with the word proselyte. That's all we deal with right now. What does proselyte mean? If proselyte means what we say it means, then every understanding that we get has to run parallel with that. What I mean by that is you have to make the scriptures agree with the definition of the word. You don't make up your own definition of the word and then try to make the scriptures agree with you. That's what they do. So when I see proselyte, then that means, hey, when I see anything that fits that description, that's what's going on. So we're looking at the word translated became Jews. We're going to 3054 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's and Boston Concordance. 3054 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's and Boston Concordance. And the word is Yahad, Yahad. And it says the nominative from a form corresponding to Hebrew, 3051, to Judaize. Y'all know what it means to Judaize somebody? It literally means to make somebody Judah. That's crazy, ain't it? How do I make somebody Judah if Judah would mean somebody from the tribe of Judah by blood? How do I do that? It has to mean in another sense, because I can't do it by blood. It must mean by religion, by the spirit, because the Jews were supposed to be one with their religion. You cannot separate a true Israelite from his religion. They were one and the same. If you wanted to see a Jew, you looked at his religion. You didn't go ask him for his paperwork on his tribe. That would be fake one West Hebrews have done. They totally missed the point. And then they separated from the worship system. They separate the Israelites from the worship system, not in the sense of saying Israelites don't supposed to observe the worship system, but they don't marry the two together and make them one. Once you do that, then you can understand how somebody who's not a blood Jew can become a Jew, because the religion was also Hebrew. When you say you are a Hebrew, sisters and brothers, you are claiming first and foremost that you keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. And second, that you may be one by blood. But that was your identity right there. We trying to look for a tribe. We going all through history, looking at all this paperwork, trying to trace some type of tribe back to a guy, some guy back to a tribe. Wrong, wrong, wrong. If you want to find out if you're an Israelite or not, start at Genesis, stop at Deuteronomy, and see if you got a problem with anything in between. And if you do, you are not an Israelite. You know what I'm saying? Plain and simple. You are not an Israelite. But if you cool with it and you trying to do it, you a Jew. You an Israelite. You a Hebrew. That's all it was to it. You see how I just summed up the whole 20, 30-year doctrine that they've been putting out there less than 10 seconds. That's exactly how I teach my class on the university. Stuff that takes them 30 years to get to, I give it to you in 10 minutes. That's a pretty big ratio. 10 minutes versus 30 years, Josh? Surely you are exaggerating. I just proved it to you just now. You ask them, how do I prove I'm an Israelite? You'll be in their camp for months, them breaking it down, going, you know, proving the curses and all of this stuff. Nah. You ain't got to do all that. Just look at Genesis. Go to Deuteronomy. Do you have a problem with doing anything in those laws in between now? No. Or you going to try to do them? Yeah. Congratulations. You just identified yourself, your Hebrew heritage. You are a Jew. Go and sin no more. Next. You follow what I'm saying? We getting you up out of there. We ain't got time for all of that. They were the same and one. I became a Jew. That's why when I say our Hebrew forefathers, it ain't got nothing to do with blood. Do you identify yourself as an Israelite or not, Josh? Of course I do. Well, when did you become a Jew? Did you trace your heritage? Did you look at the curses? Did you go into history? I ain't do none of that crap. That's what the Israel of God was doing for me, but I ain't do any of that personally myself. No. So then how do you know you're a Jew? Because I live like one. I am a Hebrew. I became a Hebrew. A lot of us don't even know. Lord, come back. Turns out, Benaiah, you might be a proselyte. Thought you was a blood Israelite all along. You're a proselyte. We don't even think like that. There's a lot of us walking around right now, one with and none one with. We just a bunch of proselytes for all we know. You can't prove you actually one of the blood ones. Exactly. Exactly, Trilla. A lot of us some proselytes, and it's all good, though, because the proselytes are Jews, too, by conversion. So don't hit me up with this Israel-only crap, this Israel-only lie, and we're looking up these words and we're seeing them in action. Now, check this out. Watch this. We're going back to Acts. We're going right back to Acts. People always want to debate you. They don't even really want to debate you. My definition of debating somebody is taking a shot at exactly what they said. They don't even know how to debate. I put out a claim about the word proselyte. Watch how everybody, if anybody, who comes on this stage, they got a problem with what I'm teaching, deal with everything but the definition of the word proselyte and then claiming they're debating me. No, you're not. You are avoiding me. You're not getting in the ring with me. You're dancing on the outside of the ring, shadow boxing. You ain't getting actually in the ring with me. Come in here and take a shot at this word proselyte. Pull up your own sources. You ain't got to use mine. Pull up your own sources. Look it up and read everything you say. Every last one of them are going to tell you it means a non-Jew who converted over to the Jewish religion. It's going to tell you that. And because they know what that would mean, they're going to keep lying. They're not going to deal with it.
Okay, Zombie, the dictionary say.
You got one? Pull it out, Benaiah, read it.
No, I don't have this one.
This one I'm going to add to. Oh, yeah, because that's their favorite Bible dictionary. They're going to burn it after they read it. They're going to burn it after they read it. So we are Jews. We are Israelites. Everybody on this stage is trying to live like one. I don't need no stinking, bootleg, fake, made up, pulled out from between your butt cheeks, 12 tribes chart. Because that's what it is. Don't even come at me with that madness. You can't identify yourself with nobody on that chart. Nobody. What is wrong with us? We just jump up, somebody just make up a chart with 12 names on it and 12 nationalities and just say, you part of that. Well, I can prove I'm a Haitian. That's not the key. I'm not asking you to prove you're a Haitian. I'm not asking you to prove you're Jamaican. I'm not asking you to prove you're an American Negro. That's clearly something you can do. I want you to prove to me that the American Negroes are from the tribe of Judah. How do you do that?
Are you serious, my brother?
How do you do that? You feel me? You can't do that. Now ask me to prove, am I a Hebrew? Josh, are you a Hebrew? Well, you know, I try to observe the Sabbath. I try to observe the dietary regulations. You know, I wear my towel. Whoa, bro. All you doing is talking about keeping the law. That's what makes you a Hebrew. The religion and the people are one. You can't separate the two. If you are a Jew and you're not keeping the commandments, you're not a Jew. If you are a non-Jew and you're keeping the commandments, you are a Jew. That's exactly what Paul said. That's how they looked at it. And it didn't start with Paul. And they know this too, y'all. That's why they say when you see Gentiles in the Bible and it says something positive about them, they say it's about Jews living like Gentiles. Now, how in the world can a Gentile, can a Jew get the label of Gentile, but a Gentile can't get the label of Jew? We can become them, but they can't become us? Huh? Why are they called Gentiles? They living like the Gentiles. Oh, okay. So if a Gentile live like a Jew, what you call that? It ain't possible. They can't do it. Get out of here, man. Next. Can we get some intelligent people up in here, please? I'm tired of talking to the cannon fodder. They get some real people who want to be honest about what God's word say. We ain't got that much time, y'all. We never know when God can take one of us out. We never know. Tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. We all acting like we got 10, 20, 30, 40 years left to get this right. We got to be doing this now. Stop with the bull. Stop trying to wrestle with it. A lot of us wrestling with stuff for years, and we already know the answer as soon as we hear the question. What you wrestling with it for, bro? You already know. You can't prove you're an Israelite by blood. You know that chart was made up. Yes, it was made up. You can trace it back to the individual or individuals who made it up. You know it was made up. You don't know me. You don't know my family history. How dare you come to me? You don't know nothing about me or my family history and tell me where I'm from. How stupid do you have to be to let somebody who don't know you, your family, nobody in your family, tell you where you from? How stupid do you have to be to let somebody do you like that? Well, you're an American Negro. Do you know how much mixing and... And I ain't talking about with the slave masters. I'm not talking about that. How much mixing and intermingling that we were doing with other people? Have y'all really read about slavery? You think that because you're an American Negro, oh, you Judah. Oh, I did not know that God kept Judah perfectly intact and all going to the exact same location all through all history, even though he said he was going to scatter them to the four corners of the earth. So how in the world, so how in the world do you narrow Judah down to just the American Negro when God said he was going to scatter them to the four corners of the earth? Wouldn't that mean that Judah can be anybody on that 12-tribe chart? Do y'all see how stupid this is? He's going to scatter them to the four corners of the earth. That's saying all over the planet. You don't believe me? You just read it in Acts. It's that Jews from every nation under heaven. That means all over the world. They were already dispersed at that time. What did they do after the book of Acts? In 70 AD, they all just concentrated in the one area, and then Rome just took them all, and they all eventually end up in America? Judah was already dispersed. And the northern kingdom was already dispersed too. So I'm some fool going to jump up and just reduce them to being the American Negro. That's game, set, and match right there. Once I showed you that he said he's going to scatter them into all nations, how did Judah specific? How did you track Judah? Did you do like the people do in nature? Did you put like a tracker on one of the earlobes somebody in Judah and just track their migration all the way through these thousand years till they got to America, and not just that one, every single one of them? I'm trying to insult anybody intelligence, but y'all really didn't think this out when they told y'all this, did y'all? Y'all really didn't think this out. You should feel real stupid if you ever went for that. You should. I know I would. I ain't got no shame in my game. There's a lot of stuff I was taught that in retrospect, I feel like I was stupid for ever believing. Wake up, y'all. Use your head. I want y'all to think. They don't want you to think. You're Judah. You're American Negro. Wow. Really? And who's Levi? What they say, the Haitians? Who they say Levi is, y'all? The Haitians, I think?
Yeah, that's what they say.
You Levi, you the Haitians. Oh, so I did not know that God perfectly preserved Levi to just end up in Haiti over in that area. I did not know that. Not a single Levite is over here in America. And then you got people over in America saying they're from Haiti, so they saying we Levite. Well, okay. So how do you know that didn't happen a lot in history? Because by the time y'all talk to us, y'all just make an Arab American Negro be Judah. So Benjamin and Levi never were making back and forth trips to America voluntarily or through slavery and then mixing with the American Negro. That never happened. You can't even prove from that chart that you're purely Judah. That's why I said that chart is garbage. And anybody who went for that, you should feel very dumb. I'm just telling you the truth. Get mad at me if you want to. But I bet you can't come on this stage and prove emphatically that you're part of one of them 12 tribes on that chart. Bet you can't do it. You might be able to prove you're an American Negro. You might be able to prove you're from Haiti. But you can't prove that every Haitian is from where that tribe chart says they're from. You cannot do that. Stop playing games. Stop playing make-believe. This is Acts chapter 17. Get mad at me. I want you to get mad at me because that means I'm telling you the truth. That means it's getting to you because you know it's telling you the truth. Acts 17, 1 to 5. Go ahead and read, Jeff.
Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews.
So this is talking about Paul and his companions. Right? So it said they went to another synagogue of the Jews, right? Why would they say he was in this synagogue? Go ahead and read.
Verse 2. And Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures.
Right? So it said Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days, 3 weeks, each day on the Sabbath, reason with them out of the Scriptures. Verse 3.
Opening and alleging that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead.
So he was he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. He was preaching that Jesus is the Messiah and that he died and resurrected. Continue, please.
And that this Jesus, whom said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
Now, wait a minute. It said of the devout Greeks. Hold your spot there, Jeff. Let me show you, because they be switching these words up in the book of Acts. Right? Just hold your spot there. We're going to keep it there. When you go back to Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, it said, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes. Religious means devout. Like I said, you're very religious. That means you're very devout about your faith. You go to Acts chapter 17, it called them devout Greeks. And it means actual Greeks. You can look it up in the Strong. It doesn't mean a Hellenized Jew or a Hellenist. It means an actual Greek. Oh, I know the word Hellenist is also in the book of Acts, but not here. So don't try to play that game with me either. Don't have them try to play that with me too. You cannot deceive an educated man with ignorance. It cannot be done. Right? So it says devout Greeks. Now watch how it makes the difference. Go ahead and read.
Acts chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews, being moved with jealousy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathering a crowd, set the city on an uproar, and assaulting the house of Jason. They sought to bring them forth to the people.
Do you see how they made a distinction between the devout Greeks and the Jews? The devout Greeks here are the proselytes who were already converted over to the ways of Jews. They have become Jews through the religion. So in the book of Acts, sometimes they're just plain called Gentiles, but you got to get the context because Gentile could mean a proselyte and it could just mean a pagan Gentile. But in Acts chapter 13, the context shows it meant a proselyte. Other times it just calls them Greeks, but you have to know based on what they're doing. If they're in the synagogue keeping the Sabbath, then they are proselytes. They are non-Jew proselytes. And don't try to tell me that the Greeks here are referring to Jews living like Greeks, because that's stupid, because if they're keeping the Sabbath, they're not living like Greeks anymore. And therefore, they would not be labeled Greeks. That is stupid. You are retarded. You can't tell me that these people were called Greeks because they were living like the pagan Greeks in a verse showing that they're living like Israelites. Do y'all understand how stupid that is? Why were they called Greeks? Because some Jews lived like the Greeks, so they called them Greeks. So they were called Greeks because they were living like the Greeks, right? Yeah, it's saying right here they're keeping the Sabbath. So they still got that pagan label of Greek, even though they're clearly keeping the Sabbath? Why would Luke do that? He called them devout Greeks. That means they were actual blood Greeks keeping the commandments. They were proselytes, non-Jews. You one West Hebrews cannot get around this. You have been lied to, and you are lying to us. Y'all can have your religion. I keep telling y'all, y'all are not a threat. Ain't nobody watching for y'all. Y'all are not. That stuff y'all teach will never go beyond your little circle. You can't take that crap y'all teaching in real academia. It will chew it up and spit it out. The stuff I teach is universal. It's good and unbeatable no matter where you take it. Nobody. Seminary, school, or the street. Nobody can beat it. Y'all stuff only legit around y'all. That's not how the truth works. Paul took the truth out into the world, and it was tried and tested. Y'all don't want to leave out from y'all little circle. That mess don't fly nowhere out beyond y'all. That's why they know who to debate. They know who to try to pick a fight with. They don't go after real educated and astute people. They know better than that. They prey on the ignorant. Ignorance is the mother of deceit. Plain and simple. All we're doing is looking up a word. That's it. Then we're showing the word being used. First, you look it up. Then you apply it. You see its application. That's what you do. So if I look up a word and I know what it means, then I see it in a verse, then I just read the definition into the verse. That's how definitions work. Were you not taught this in the third grade? I was. I learned how to use a I knew how to use a dictionary very skillfully by the time I was in the fourth. How y'all don't know how to use the definition? How y'all use the dictionary? How y'all don't know how definitions work? Talking to grown men and women, parents, grandparents even, don't know how a dictionary works. Don't know the purpose of a dictionary. I had a brother tell me one time, I don't like to use the Strong's. I use the dictionary. And I opened them up to the back of the Strong's, and it said right in the back in the actual book, Strong's Concordance Dictionary. He didn't even know the Strong's was a dictionary. He told me it wasn't a dictionary. I said, yes, it is a dictionary. If it defines words, it's a dictionary. Guess how bad we don't fall in. How in the world we're in we're in the age of information, but we have the intellect of the slaves. You follow what I'm saying? Some of the slaves had more sense than y'all, and they couldn't even read. Use your common sense, y'all. Stop just wanting to be so a part of something so bad that you just give up all your common sense, all your logic. Stop doing that. So we see again. Now, why this? Let's go to Acts chapter 18. We wind it down. I'm like, y'all don't see me with this stuff, man? All this junk is game. Y'all playing game. Y'all ain't finna get nowhere with this mess, man. Nowhere. One West Hebrews been proclaiming the end of the world for decades. Ain't nothing happened yet. Ain't nobody watching for them. Not even the white man. The white man ain't even watching for y'all. He know y'all ain't finna bust a grape. At one time, you know, y'all was on the terrorist list, and y'all still might be. But they figured out a long time ago, man, these guys ain't about to do nothing. We ain't worried about them.
No.
I'm saying, ain't nobody worried about them. And I ain't worried about y'all either. I'm not watching for y'all. I ain't saying that nobody can physically walk up on me and not do something to me, but as far as academically, I'm not worried about or watching for any one West Hebrew. Not on this stuff. Now, there might be something that we ain't never talked about before. They might be able to show me on that, you know, outside of, like, the whole Israel-only doctrine and, you know, virgin verse debates and all that other stuff. We don't hurt the deaf. They might be able to show me something on that, but all this other stuff, man, ain't nobody checking for y'all. Ain't nobody afraid of y'all. Any one West Hebrew talking about Josh afraid of them, they are a liar. I have debated elders, captains, generals, students. I've debated them all. I've buried them all. And you ain't come with anything new. I see if you were some new kid coming out the woodworks with something new, you said the same old thing they already don't refute it. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you go on debate, talk for you, and, oh, Josh already done debated this before. I want to debate him, too. Ooh, what you going to come with? The same thing. Man, get out of my face, dude. You ain't even bringing anything new. Same old scripture. You're twisting out of context. Same old tired, refuted arguments. Come with something new. We don't see y'all bag of tricks. Y'all are out of ammo. That gun been clicking for years. You know, when you run out of bullets, you know, click, 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 click. That thing been clicking for years. Y'all been out of ammo. So let's stop playing the game. That's why y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all go on Clubhouse after this class is over and check the hallway. Same old debate. Same old claims. Same old, same old. They ain't got nothing new. They firing blanks. They been on E for years. Y'all been drinking toilet water. Been drinking toilet water. The fresh water been gone for years. Y'all drinking toilet water now. This is Acts chapter 18, 1 to 4. Read, please.
Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, he departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a man of Pontus by race, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, came unto them.
Then it says, and they come out Paul, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Notice how when it's a Jew who's born in a foreign country, look how much detail Luke goes into to let you know. This is not some Gentile from Pontus. He's letting you know this is a Jew born in Pontus. So when Luke wanted you to know that it's a Jew living in a Gentile territory, he lets you see that. So don't hand me this crap when I see Cornelius and you want to make him be a Jew in Gentile territory. If he was, Luke would have let us know, just like he did right here with Aquila. That make sense to y'all? But continue.
Verse 3. And because he was of the same trade, he abode with them, and they wrought for by their trade they were tent makers.
Mm-hmm.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks.
Jeff, who are these Greeks in here keeping the Sabbath with these Jews?
They're Gentiles, are proselytes.
That's who they are. They're proselytes. That's why they're still being called Greeks, even though they're clearly living like the Jews. That's how you can tell they're proselytes, if it calls them of another nation, even though they're still living like the Jews. That's the giveaway right there. But you ain't finna tell me these Greeks are Jews. Why are you still calling them Greeks? First you tell me they're called Greeks because they live like the Greeks. Then you take me to a verse where they're called Greeks, but they're living like the Jews. But why do they still have a label of Greek on them, bitch? That is stupid. A light bulb got to click in your head. Ding, you right. It wouldn't have called them Greeks. It would have just said the Jews were in the synagogue. If it threw the Greeks in there, it should have said that they weren't trying to hear it or something. But you can't have the Greeks in there keeping the Sabbath too and tell me these are Jews who are living as Greeks. That makes no sense. If it calls them Greeks and they're living as the Jews, and you go to the Strong's and they use the word, the actual word for Greek, not Hellenist, those are proselytes, y'all. Non-Jews. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at our Hebrew forefathers for coming up with the word proselyte for foreigners that adopted their faith. Y'all get mad at me. Don't get mad at the Hebrew. Why y'all have to make up that word? They get mad at me like I made up the word proselyte, like I'm giving it a definition. That's what it means. Y'all just some weak-hearted brothers. That's all it really is, trying to act all tough. Can't even handle the fact that a word don't mean what you thought it means. How weak you got to be where that shattered your whole reality because you had the definition of a word wrong. When I was growing up, I thought a lot of words meant things they didn't mean, and I found out they meant something else, kept it moving. Y'all some weak-hearted brothers can't even handle the very thought of I thought this mean this, but it really mean that. You want to lead somebody. You want to teach somebody. There's a lot of weak brothers on this app, and I ain't talking about physically because they'll probably choke me out. I'm talking about spiritually. You thought of that. You got to be careful on this app, Jeff. You call somebody weak, they're going to think you're challenging their physical strength. They'll come looking for your butt. I ain't challenging your physical strength, bro. I'm challenging your spiritual. I'm challenging your mentality. That's what it means when we say somebody weak-hearted. Strongest dude in the world can be weak-hearted. Y'all know that. Samson was weak-hearted. He was the strongest man that ever lived, but he was weak-hearted. That's what your Bible tells you. How was he weak-hearted? He was weak on Delilah, wasn't he? His mental one strong, a mentally strong Samson would be like, woman, I ain't telling you nothing. I ain't even going to play with you about what my weakness is. Why do you even want to know my weakness? That would have been a red flag for me. Why do you even want to know my weakness? Right? You know what I'm saying? I ain't telling you jack. All you need to know is that I bust heads. That's all you need to know. You feel me? That's what I would have told him. I bust heads. That's what I do. How do you do it? The Most High gave me the power. I ain't lied one time. The Most High gave me the power. Let's keep it moving. I wouldn't even let her wash my hair. No, get away from my hair. I don't want you to touch it, no. You know, some women like to wash their man's hair. I wouldn't even let her wash my hair. He was weak-hearted. Strong as I don't know what, but weak-hearted. Right? So, again, we see these Greeks. These are proselytes. Now, watch this. Now, turn back to Acts chapter 6. Now we're going to start dealing with individual proselytes in a moment, Acts chapter 6. Talking about these Greeks were northern Israelites. Man, they be killing me with this mess. They just be making stuff up. Doesn't that bother y'all? Does that bother you, Jeff, that they just be making stuff up?
Yes, and then when you refute it, they, like, get angrier, and then they just ignore what you say or dismiss it, and then go keep on teaching the lies, like you said, because they're in their emotions.
Right. All in their feelings. So weak-hearted butt out of here, man. Grow a spiritual pair. Gone with all of that. Ain't nobody got time for you being in your feelings. Men, in their feelings. More than the sisters be. All in your feelings. More than the sisters be. And call the sisters emotional. Come on, they the weaker vessel. That's funny right there. Brothers on this are way more emotional than the sisters are. over the definition of a word. Acts chapter 6. And watch what it says right here. You know, they were talking about, you know, the daily ministration, right? Acts chapter 6. Then read verse 5.
Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Phyllis, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch.
Now, don't you find it funny that everybody else's name is just named them? Which makes us, as the reader, assume they're just regular Jews or Israelites. But when he got to this Nicholas guy, he called him a proselyte from Antioch. So what is he doing up in there, Jeff?
Right, and they started off with Stephen, and no one would never refute its dispute that Stephen was an Israelite.
Exactly.
They made a separation.
They made a separation. He's the only one that's identified as a proselyte. Why would they separate him out as a proselyte? Because he was a non-Jew who converted over to the ways of the Jews, and he just started believing in Jesus just like the rest of them. Right there in your Bible, it calls this man a proselyte. Right in the book of Acts, we know what the word means. This is not debatable. Do not come on this stage and try to debate me on the definition of the word proselyte unless you have a source. It means something. This word has a meaning. You cannot make it mean what you want it to mean to fit your doctrine. If you can't do that, keep it moving. Don't be in the chat room debating from the chat room either. I want my mother to be on there. Y'all see anybody in the chat? Man, he wrong. Proselyte don't mean that. Kick him out. I wouldn't even get mad at them if they posted a source of the definition of the word proselyte in the chat. I wouldn't even get mad at that, but I know they're not going to do that. There's no way you can get around this. You have joined a false religion. One West Hebrewism is a false religion. It's simple and plain. Just like Jehovah's Witnesses, just like the Mormons, just like the Seventh-day Adventists, y'all are not special. You have been duped too. That's what hurts the most. They thought they finally had it right. That's what really hurts. You thought you were good. You thought you left pagan Christianity and you were good. You just went from one deception to another. But that shouldn't break you. Why did you think it was going to be so easy to get this thing right? You really thought you were going to get it right on the second try? This is a journey. You know what I'm saying? It don't work like that. We got to stop pretending like we don't see stuff. Let's move on. So we got this guy, Nicholas. He was a proselyte. No debate there, right? Now, we're going to look up the word proselyte in that third dictionary. Remember at the beginning, Jeff? I said we're going to go to two dictionaries, and I'm going to go to a third. You remember that?
Third. This and another one.
Yep. We're going to go to Cyclopedia. Not encyclopedia, cyclopedia. This is a Bible encyclopedia, right? We're going to look up proselyte. And let me show you. We're going to read the whole definition because it's a lot digging into the history and everything. But I'm going to show you what it tells you, something that's very important. So we're going to the encyclopedia and pull this up. This is what it says under paragraph I, historical development of this class. This is under proselyte. Look what it says. The existence through all stages of history of the Israelites of a body of men of the same race. This is what it says. Not of the same race, but holding the same faith and adopting the same ritual is a fact which, from its very nature, requires to be dealt with historically. So this dictionary, Bible dictionary, encyclopedia, is saying that a body of men who are not of the same race, but adopting the same rituals or religion is a fact. And it has to be dealt with historically. So that means we had to go into the historical books of the Bible to see if we can prove that there were non-Israelites living among Israel like Israelites. Let's take a look at a couple of examples. We're going to go through these real quick. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. See, this is how you educate people. You don't play games and you don't lie. 1 Samuel, yep. 1 Samuel 21 and 7. I got to start off with this one. One verse. 1 Samuel 21 and 7. Read that, please.
1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day. He came before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul.
See, this is when David was on the run from Saul, and David was in Ahimelech. And one of the herdsmen of Saul was a guy named Doeg, and he was an Edomite. I mean, he was living among the Israelites. What is an Edomite doing living among the Israelites if we're all about Israel only? Some of y'all might try to argue, well, Saul was wicked, so of course he'll have a wicked Edomite in his employ. Okay, I'm glad you feel that way, because I'm here to tell you that this was the norm. But this Doeg, the Edomite, was a proselyte, right? But check this out. Let's take a look at David then. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is why they fight tooth and nail to try to make Ruth be an Israelite, because they don't know what a proselyte is. You cannot make Ruth be an Edomite, I mean an Israelite, as long as the concept of proselyte exists. You cannot do it. That's why they don't even deal with proselyte. I would love for somebody to send me a video, a podcast, a clubhouse room where a one West Hebrew is specifically dealing with the definition of proselyte. I would love to hear that. I would love to hear it. This is 2 Samuel 11. Let me turn that with you. Y'all remember this guy, verse 3.
Ready for me, Chief?
Go ahead, brother.
All right. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?
Uriah the Hittite. He was one of the soldiers in David's army. Uriah the Hittite. What is a Hittite doing living among the Israelites? He was a proselyte. You going to try to make him be an Israelite too? It plainly called him the Hittite. This is a proselyte. They'll say, oh, this he was called a Hittite because he lived in a Hittite area. Last time I checked, the entire land of Canaan is Hittite and Canaanite area. So why don't you call everybody living in Israel Hittites?
Right.
That is stupid. He's called a Hittite because he's from the children of Heth, H-E-T-H. Those are Hamites. What is he doing living among them? Let's take a look at another example. Let's go to, still in 2 Samuel, turn to chapter 23. We're going to read 36 and 37. I'm just showing y'all examples. You got to be a complete, absolute, unadulterated moron to not see proselytes in your Bible. I can't even deal with you, man. It's a level of stupid that I didn't even think was attainable, even on purpose. I couldn't be this stupid if I tried. I really couldn't. This is a level of stupidity that is rare. It got to be something in the air, some kind of virus, maybe it's the water. Something is making these people this stupid. I cannot believe it. They will do it. It's a strong delusion. Strong. Get mad about it. I like it. Get mad. And then come on this stage and get embarrassed for lying. 2 Samuel 23:36-37. Let's see who else we're talking about in David's army. Go ahead, please.
2 Samuel chapter 23:36.
And 37.
Igal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, but now is the Gadite.
So his name in David, mighty men. That's what his name in his army. Who else is in his army? Go ahead.
Select the Ammonite. The high rise is the Arabite, armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zariah.
Hold up. Zelek the Ammonite? That's not an Israelite. That's a Hamite. So we got Uriah. He's a proselyte. Now we got this guy, Zelek the Ammonite. What all these non-Israelites doing living among Israelites, fighting in God's army? Why would God want the enemy in his army? And when David said, the Bible lets you know he said, notice the Bible don't say anything against David for having Uriah the Hittite in his army, but the Bible says God got mad when David had Uriah set up to be killed. Why didn't God get mad for David even having a Hittite in his army? These are proselytes. He didn't get mad because these were people who became Jews, just like those Persians did in the book of Esther. They became Jews. Even Doeg the Edomite became a Jew. And don't try to act like that ain't ever happened in history, because later in history, we saw when John Hyrcanus conquered the Edomite. They became Jews. That's history. So stop playing with us. Y'all are some liars. We are sick of y'all. All y'all do is come on this app and lie, lie, and lie some more. And your idiot followers are too duped to just see that y'all lie. I actually think a lot of y'all like lies. I think y'all like lies. I really do. Y'all like lies. That's not a foreign concept. The Bible talks about people loving lies. That's not lost upon me. Our ancient Hebrew forefathers loved lies. They loved the false prophets. Ain't nothing changed. Y'all love these false prophets. Y'all love these false one with Hebrew prophets. Y'all love them to death. That's sad. Y'all love these Hebrew false prophets. Y'all send them money. Y'all send them women. And all they do is lie to you. I'm not surprised. That's always been our problem. We love false prophets. Some of us are willfully stupid. Some of us know they lying. Do y'all really think that everybody who follow these guys don't know they lying? Of course some of y'all know they lying, but y'all love to lie. I showed y'all last week that the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, always had a problem with following God, and they convinced themselves that God exists, but he don't care about what they do. So we're going to do whatever we want to do. That's why we're at with it right now. They know this stuff is in here. ISUPK, they know, GMS knows, Sakari knows, all of these guys, I'm naming all of them, they all know. Don't let these guys fool you, I've never seen this before. They all know this stuff is in here. Some of them guys been teaching and studying longer than me. They just don't care. Plain and simple, and you don't care either. And the you I'm talking about are the ones, you know, who ain't trying to get with this truth. But don't be stupid, y'all. These camps know. They're like a lot of these Christian pastors know. Creflo Dollar just recently come out, the prosperity doctrine. I'm recanting that. Burn all my tapes and all my books. I have come to understand that the prosperity doctrine was wrong. Man, you knew that the second you ran across a Hebrew Israelite on the corner.
No.
You knew that. You knew that the second you ran into a Hebrew. We've been telling you that for over 20 years. You've been new. Now you got 5 private jets and a multi-million-dollar house and own hundreds of acres of land. You set for life. What are you going to lose if you tell people the truth now? I would have been more impressed if he would have been like, all of the money I made preaching this prosperity doctrine lie, I'm going to give it back. Okay, now I believe you don't repent it. What's the purpose of telling us this wrong after you set for life? You know what I'm saying? You set for life. Give back the money. Donate the money. You ain't giving back the money. I don't want to hear it. The Bible don't just talk about confessing our fault. The Bible talks about something called restitution. The Bible, all you Israelites, y'all don't want the nations that have been oppressing us to just admit in the end, oh, we were wrong. We shouldn't have did that. That ain't all y'all looking for. Y'all looking for restitution too. And that's what the Bible says is going to happen when Israel go back to the land. They're going to get restitution. Said, for your shame, you shall receive double. That's restitution. The Bible doesn't say the Gentile nations are going to confess what they did was wrong. We shouldn't have did that. No, you got the restoration. You got to pay back. So he knows. Creflo knew. He been knew. He just wanted to get set for life. And then, okay, now I tell y'all what time it is. Because like a lot of these camps know, they know about this stuff. This ain't even really for them because I know they know. Y'all don't know. And I've proven that they know it before. Y'all don't see us jam these guys up. Y'all don't see Benaya and Dre and myself. Y'all don't see us jam these guys up. They know this stuff say this. They don't think God going to do none of them. They don't really believe in God like that. See, I believe God going to get me if I come out here and deliberately lie to y'all. I believe he'll put his hands on me or one of my loved ones, something I own. I believe he'll do that to me. They don't really believe that like that. That's why they can sin so fearlessly. I can't do that. But now, let's go to, we already read 23. Yep. Let's read 2 Samuel 24, one verse, verse 16.
You ready for me?
2 Samuel 24, yep. Yeah, one verse, verse 16.
2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite.
Now, just to give y'all a little background, this is when David numbered the people, right? And God got mad at him for doing that. And that's when he had that angel come and just start killing a lot of people. And then it said he eventually stopped. But look what it says where the angel stopped there. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. Who is Araunah the Jebusite? And who were the Jebusites? And why is a Jebusite got a threshing floor in Israel? This is another proselyte, y'all. See, you got to be catching little stuff like this when you read your Bible. They don't catch little stuff like this. Like, who was the Jebusite? The Jebusites were Hamites. Why is this Hamite living in Israel? He's a proselyte. And y'all know you can live in Israel and serve your own God. So you know they had to be doing what Israel was doing. I keep telling y'all, man, we need to get one west up out of here. They need to go, man. They are not real Israelites. They are rebellious. They are revolters. That's what they are. We're supposed to be doing it the way they did it. These guys do not represent our Hebrew forefathers. They do not represent the law, statutes, and commandments. They have their own hybrid religion that they made up. That's a cross between being an Israelite and some form of Freemasonry. Yes, I said it. It's Freemasonry all up and through a lot of these One West camps. If you study Freemasonry, you see it. Jumps out at me because I've studied Freemasonry. Jumps right out at me. But that's another lesson. We ain't going to go there. But let's move on yet again. Let's go to Jeremiah, and we only got two more after that. I ain't sparing nobody today. All these people do is lie. Every time you go on Clubhouse, your salvation just for Israel or everybody. Even the people who know the truth keep bringing up these same debates. Let's talk about it. Haven't we talked about it enough? Let's just look up some words, y'all. Let's learn. Let's deal with some angles they ain't never touched on before. Let's make it real simple. Let's just look up some words. Let's prove to the people that our opposition is just stupid. I'd rather do that. Prove y'all that our opposition is just stupid. Real simple. They can call me stupid all day long. I don't care, but they can't prove I'm stupid. They can't go in no Bible dictionary. They can't go in the original Hebrew. They can't go in any scripture and show that I'm lying to y'all about any of these words. They all say and mean what I say they mean. Just look them up. Get your own Bible dictionary out. I challenge you to do your own search. Gonna tell you the same thing you told me. You ain't gonna know what to do. This Jeremiah, let's see about another proselyte. Another Hamite. Jeremiah 38:7-10. When you get there, Jeff, read, please. You muted, Jeff, by the way. We can't hear you.
Okay. Jeremiah 38:7. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying,
now wait a minute. Hold up. Ebed-Melech, what was he? What did it describe him as? It said he was a what?
He was an Ethiopian eunuch.
Ethiopian, that's Cush or Cush. That's a Hamite. Right? So he heard that the prophet Jeremiah was in prison, and now he's talking to the king on behalf of Jeremiah. Let's see what he's going to do. Go ahead and read.
Saying, my lord, these men have done evil in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city.
So he's worried about Jeremiah dying of starvation in the dungeon. This Ethiopian eunuch, what is he doing living among the Israelites? But continue.
Verse 10. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies.
So this guy went to bat for Jeremiah. He was obviously righteous. You know you got to be righteous if you're trying to go to bat for one of God's prophets who was wrongly imprisoned. How did he get to live among Israel? What are you doing with a whole Ethiopian? And don't act like an Ethiopian ain't ever lived among Israel, because it says that Moses married an Ethiopian. So what's going on here? This is another proselyte living like an Israelite. All this stuff in your Bible, and you act like you don't see this? I mean, are we even serious anymore? Salvation just for Israel? God been saving people from other nations since day one. A mixed multitude came up out of Egypt. We've been on that over that so many times. Mixed race of people. We looked that up. These are proselytes. Why are we even entertaining these people no more? I am done talking to idiotic people about definitions that they just can't stand. We did not write this stuff. Not that it would make a difference. If I wrote my own definition, they wouldn't be trying to hear that either. So stop playing games. The one with Hebrews is a false religion. It's a false camp. It's not a shot at anybody particularly. Don't take it personal. Just like if I stand up and say the Mormons is a false religion. I'm not trying to take a shot at any particular Mormon. But it's false. Being a one West Hebrew is nothing but another religion. It's another denomination. Just like being a Jehovah's Witness. Now, do they got more truth than the rest of those religions? Oh, yes. I'm not going to sit there and pretend like they're exactly like them. They definitely got more truth. But it's still just another denomination that you've been fooled into thinking is something special. They got their faults, too. They got stuff they need to change. They got stuff they need to work on. Read the book of Revelation. I said I was going to do a class on that. about the seven churches in Asia, Jesus addressed them. He told them what they had right, but he also told them what he didn't like. He gave them the good and the bad. A lot of us don't want to take the bad. We don't want to get rid of the bad. We love the praise. No, man, you know, Jesus like, I got a few things against you. Change that. That's my message to the one West Hebrew. Yet I got a few things against you. Not personally, just against what you're teaching. But I see the good you're doing too. But you're nothing special. You're just another denomination. You know, with made up ideologies and all. Jehovah's Witnesses do the same thing. They ignore definition of words. They do the same thing. Heck, they made their own New Testament, their own Bible, the New Greek translation. That's what people do. They just make their own stuff. I don't do that around here. I'm nobody. I'm just Brother Josh. I rely on the people who I know is in this Bible. God ain't said nothing to me about no Charles T. Russell. He ain't said nothing to me about no General Yohanna. He ain't said nothing to me about no Brother Bowie. You know what I'm saying? And this ain't a shot at none of these people. I'm just saying he ain't said nothing to me about them. But he don't say something to me about Jeremiah. He don't say something to me about Moses and Jesus. So I'm going to look at what they say first, and I'm going to see if what you say coincide with what they say. And if what you say don't coincide with what they say, then I don't care what you say. I know where that's from. That's from, what you call it? That's from Paper Mario. Let's go on to, let's go to Joshua. Yep, that's my joint right there. Real simple. Real simple, y'all. And that's kind of like a little theme, like a little tune where it's simple, but yet at the same time, if you don't get it, it's kind of like do, 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 like, duh, you feel me? It's not hard. Can we please, can we just please just use our common sense? Begging y'all. I'm over here begging people to use their common sense. Begging. Y'all know about this one. Here's another proselyte. I haven't seen anyone West Hebrew try to make her be an actual Israelite. Not me. Maybe y'all have. But this is Rahab. Let's go ahead and read it. Joshua 6 and 25. Read that, please.
Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that he had, dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho.
So now we got the sisters in on this. The people from Jericho, those were Hamites. If you read Deuteronomy 21, they were instructed, they were among the seven nations that God told to utterly destroy. And yet she was spared and allowed to convert over to the ways of Israel. So when you're really serious about becoming a Jew, God will even make an exception to a rule that he already has set in place concerning your people. This is why most people can't wrap their minds around how could Ruth be a Moabite when it said the Moabite can't enter into the congregation of the Lord. Did it just mean the Moabite women? It don't say that. I mean, the Moabite men, it don't say that. At 10 generations past, it doesn't say that. Well, how did Ruth, being a Moabite, be able to enter into the congregation of the Lord? The same way Rahab, who was among the people who God said did not even survive. He said, kill everything that breathed. The same way how she was able to get around it. She sided with the Lord and became a Jew. We don't even understand this stuff. There are exceptions to some laws, some rules. God has been showing us for thousands of years that if you are really serious about turning to him, he will let you in his family, even if you're not an actual Jew. I will adopt you. Now let's go to the last one. Let's go to Ruth. We ain't going to read all that in Ruth. We're going to read this one part. Maybe now this makes sense. Still arguing about Ruth. I can't believe people still arguing about Ruth. Man, slow people on this app, boy. Real slow. is Ruth chapter 1, is when Naomi was saying goodbye to her two Moabite daughter-in-laws. Naomi was an Israelite. These are two Moabite daughter-in-laws, right? The famine is over in the land of Israel. So she's trying to go back to the land. So I keep telling people, it doesn't make any sense for Naomi to tell them to stay in Moab if they were all Israelites from the same location. It doesn't make sense. And now they want to try to play on the word. I'm going to let y'all see. This is Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read 14 to 16. Read that.
Somebody got the somebody need to put that mic on mute. I keep hearing some noise in the background.
That's Judith. I got it.
Okay. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her and said, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law.
So Naomi told Ruth, behold, your sister-in-law has returned to her people and her gods. Can you believe I heard a sister try to say gods here meant judges? Return to your judges, even though everywhere else you read about the gods and Moab, it means like pagan gods.
And don't even say Elohim right there. The word for judges right there, it meant verse, it's not Elohim.
Exactly. She's telling her to go back to the Moabite people and their pagan gods, not their judges. Right? But watch what Ruth says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people should be my people, and thy God, my God.
Well, when it says your God, my God here, she was talking about the judges here. I would like somebody to show me in the Bible where Israel was that devoted to their judges to the point where they were saying stuff like that. Go back to your judges. Why would Naomi even say that to her? Go back to your judges, your people and their judges. What does that got to do with anything? Why would she say your people? And I hear them try to say that Ruth was a Reubenite, just like it says up here about Naomi now. Don't they say they were Reubenites up here in verse 1 from the house of Reuben? Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. No, they were Ephratites, right? They try to say Ruth was a Reubenite. Where does it say that at? What does it say that Ruth was a Reubenite? You can't just make people be what you want to be. It called her a Moabitess. That's what it called her. Well, you know, there was a part of the land that Israel had conquered. Then why don't y'all show me where anybody else in Israel was ever referred to as a Moabite or a Moabitess? Because they was in that part of the land. I thought when Israel conquered a part of the land, they named it after them. So you mean to tell me that Israel conquers a part of Moab and still refer to its inhabitants as Moabites? That's what they do? If that's the case, why don't they call the land of Israel the land of Canaan? They start calling Israel after they took over it. I thought that's what you do. I don't know what the name of this country was before it was named America, but I don't see nobody around here calling it by its original name. We call this country America and United States, don't we, y'all? Because it was conquered by Europeans. But you want us to believe that they conquered that area, but they're still calling their own people after the name of the inhabitants of the area. Their own people? I can get away with y'all naming calling the people who y'all conquered by that even though y'all renamed it, but your own people. So when the Americans came over here and conquered the original natives, right? Are you telling me that the Americans referred to their new settled people as the name of the original natives? Because that's what you're telling me they did.
No.
That is stupid. Naomi is telling Ruth, Orpah, to return to their people, and I told y'all in that lesson about Ruth, that the Israelites do not refer to each other like that. Because all of their people are considered the same, even if it's a different tribe. Israel is always called God's people. I showed y'all how they make that separation. This is the Moabite. She was a proselyte. When she said, your God shall be my God, she was saying, I'm going to convert over to worshiping your God. I am going to become a proselyte. Just like Rahab did. Just like Uriah did. Just like the Ethiopian did who was with Jeremiah. This is nothing new. Just like Doeg the Edomite. This is nothing new. So, sisters and brothers, we have shown you the Israelite, the Israel-only doctrine destroyed by the proselyte. All you got to do is just look up the word proselyte, and you will see that God was offering salvation and comfort and a safe haven to people of other nations if they were willing to convert over to being Jews, or in other words, becoming Jews. So the next time one of them try to tell you, oh, salvation is just for Israel, or God don't care nothing about the other nations, just simply ask them what a proselyte is. And if you don't know what that is, you got one or two options. Either one, end the conversation right then and there because you know you're dealing with a moron. Or two, show him the information in this class, and maybe, just maybe, he'll see that definitions determine. We'll be back after these brief messages. All right, everybody. First of all, as usual, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. We have classes every Sabbath, but y'all know the time sets back tomorrow. For all y'all don't know about daylight saving, good way to remember, you know, they say spring forward, fall back. In the spring, they move the time forward. In the fall, they move it back. So that's how I was taught to remember. You spring forward and you fall back. So they're going to take the time back an hour. And because of that, we're going to start next week class. I already told the ABT people, most of them, at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, until the day starts to, you know, level out more, and it starts getting darker, you know, later again, right? So we're going to start next week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will remind y'all, so don't worry about it. If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, by the way, this information is on my bio. If you're interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online website. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. And a lot of people have been taking advantage of this online store. I can tell. Keep it up, right? Because I know y'all learned a lot from this stuff, right? Also, if you're interested in making a donation, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and would just like to support it financially, you can do so one of two ways. I'm still working on Zelle. I haven't forgot. But right now, the only two ways you can donate is also on my bio. First, through PayPal, using our email address. That means you can also email us if you want to contact us at this address. That's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word for, you type numerical value for. So again, that's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And of course, the more common way people donate is through Cash App. And you can donate through Cash App using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM s. Again, that's $ABTM s. And in case you're wondering, that it simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. So now we're going to bring in Ariel to give a brief summary of today's class and a few announcements, if you have any. Ariel, are you there?
Hello,
brother. Yes, go ahead and take it away, my brother.
Awesome. Yeah, we got a couple of announcements.